morning.
Good to see you here today, this morning. I guess that's working. Okay. Got a few announcements here today. But first, you thought I was going to forget, huh, Harvey?
You got a backup.
If you think backsliding is something you do when you fall down while you're skiing, you may need to go to church more. All right. Want me to do another one? I don't know if that's a roll. I don't know if that's a roll. But anyway, I do want to thank you all for the cake last week and your offering and everything. My wife and I really appreciate it and appreciate you. And, you know, it's funny, every time you do one of those things, like I got four things to do after the service, so I don't even see the cake or, you know, they did waylay me and let me hold the cake for a second, and then I went in to talk to somebody or something, whatever it was. And it's funny, it always works out that way. But anyway, we do appreciate it, and thank you. Nine years, March 1st it was, so... Just seems like 20, huh? You know? For you. It's been good for me. I hope it was good for you. But anyway, thank you. We do appreciate it. And hopefully, maybe my wife will be back next week. Oh, look who rolled in. Fresh off the boat. It's on sale. It's on sale. So... Anyway, welcome back.
Thank you. It's cold here.
It's not cold in the Panama Canal? Yeah, somehow I figured that. But anyway, glad you guys are back safely. So, anyway, on with the announcements. Movie night. This week, our last one for probably a month or more. It'll finish up the Chosen series. So, this Friday at 6:30. A March for Life. The Rose of Sharon is sponsoring a March for Life at Sultana High School in May, May 13th, actually. It's going to be from 5 to 7:30. And so for the youth, this might be an opportunity to raise some money, because what you do is you get pledges. Or for any of us, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking of people that are willing to go out and walk around a track, you know, for a while. But if you are willing to do that and you want to raise some pledges, come see me. I have forms. And it's from 5 to 7:30 on May 13th, which is a Friday. It's a Friday evening. And yes? You and Debbie are?
Is that a lemon pledge?
Lemon pledge. You think mine were bad. I have been called a lot of things over the years, but that's the first for lemon pledge. Been called lemonade and sour lemon and
money. Yeah.
Now, there you go, the lemon pledge. There you go. Now, I was thinking more of the furniture polish.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. You're not familiar with that, right? No. That's... But anyway, man, I don't know how long the sermon's going to be. Announcements are taking quite a while. But anyway, if you want to participate, you can see me for a form. If you want to donate, you know, be part of that part, you can, you know, whoever is participating, you can sign up either a flat dollar amount, like, you know, I want to give $20 or, you know, whatever, Or you can pledge so much a lap. Okay, so somebody, so that way, you know, it will motivate me to go maybe two laps instead of one, you know. It's just a track, yeah. But see, she bailed out. She bailed out. I was going to challenge her, you know, to a thing, you know.
I would have won.
But you know, she's scared because she's conveniently out of town that weekend. You know, kind of funny how that worked. I think she's scared of me. But anyway, so anyway, I was going to have a lot of fun with that. It really took away all my fun. You know, they're going to be out of town. But I find it interesting that on that week, that's the week they're out of town. But anyway, I'll probably mention that later too, you know, in subsequent weeks, you know. But anyway, if you are interested in doing that, it's really a worthy cause. And I guess there's going to be other stuff, Vicki, like there's booths or something or... Yeah, it's kind of in its infancy a little bit. Yeah, it's with Call for Life and Moses House. They're all right. Ours goes there. So anyway, so be praying about how you might want to participate in that, either as a donor or as a walker, marcher, runner, jogger. I may, you know, get a motorized something. Because I could win then. Yes, electric wheelchairs. That would be great. So anyway, that's going on in May, and I'll be, as that gets closer, we'll get a little more, you know, more details about that. Membership class. So if you've never joined the church and you would like to join the church, please sign up on the I got a sheet hanging there. I don't know when yet. I want to wait and see who wants to sign up, and then I'll talk with you, and we'll try to figure out dates and times where it works in everybody's schedule, that kind of thing. So if you've never done that. And then lastly, there is a sacred assembly. It says on here, scared assembly. And actually, it's probably pretty accurate because I'm the only one signed up. So I can only assume that everyone is scared. Kathy won't make that one either. She's scared. But and she's really scared. But anyway, it is April 3rd, which is 2 weeks from today. And there is a fast associated with it. Beginning next Sunday, so if you would like to fast also and then be at the church in Barstow the following Sunday afternoon at 5:30, that'd be great. It's going to be a time of, you know, really getting serious about what is going on, you know, in our world, in just every facet of life really is being affected here. And so it's about, you know, how people showed God they were really serious about it was they fasted from something that meant a lot to them. You know, it doesn't have to be food. I understand there's health issues and things like that with different people, but you can fast from something. And it's just a means of just really getting serious about what is going on. And then it's all going to culminate, you know, at 5:30 up at First Baptist Church Barstow, and I'll be getting some address, you know, and all that as we get closer. But it's going to culminate there with a prayer service, a sacred assembly, as it's called. And I missed that. I actually caught this typo last week and had Dave change it, but I forgot to tell Randall this week, and I missed it. So, but anyway, be in prayer about how you might come up there. And, you know, even if you don't fast, you could still come up and be part of the assembly. And we need to start having impact, folks, and it starts with prayer. And then just keep in mind VBS is coming. And I know it's just barely spring, but VBS is coming in a few months. So be in prayer about how you might be helping out with that. We'll probably be having a sign-up sheet pretty quickly here for people to sign up. So have I forgotten anything? All right. Other than, well, Stacy's big day, May 21st. So, and everyone is welcome in the church on that, Target and all that. So, anyway. All right, let's go to the verse for today, verses, just two. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 17 and 18. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you grateful for your presence among us, Lord. Grateful for your purpose that you want to work through us. And so, Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord, just humbly acknowledging you are God. You are worthy. We praise you. We lift you up. And Father God, help us, Lord. Help us to respond to you the way you would have us respond. Father God, may we take our walk with you seriously. Help us, Lord, to know and understand that there will be persecution, there will be things going on. And when that happens, Lord, you are right there with us, and you never leave us or forsake us. Father God, we ask you to bless this service today, Lord. Father God, I pray that you would indeed bless the singing, bless the music, bless all that goes on here, bless the teaching, the preaching. Lord God, all this because of what you did in us, we do these things, Father, and we acknowledge you, and we lift you up, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join and sing with us as we sing the In the Sweet By and By.
There's a man that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet
by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that follow our days. In the sweet
by and by,
we shall be on that beautiful shore.
Peace forevermore on that happy golden shore.
He is. He
And now, if you would just please stand and greet each other and tell somebody you're happy they're here today.
Good morning. I'm happy you're here today. I'm happy you're here. Good morning.
Hey, guys. with all creation I sing. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you.
As we sing this song, we invite you to sing it with us. If you learn it along the way, that's great. And if you can't sing with us, just make it your prayer.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name, 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would be Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, come believe it, come receive it. Oh, the power of His Spirit is now forever yours. Come believe it, come receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, all things are possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life. Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come to life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Are y'all comfortable? find that interesting question. Eric's really finding it interesting. Should we pack a lunch? No, it wasn't that kind of comfortable that I was talking about. No, I'm probably going to take you out of your comfort zone a little bit today. Because I'm going to ask you to participate today. So I hope you have your sheets that are in the bulletin. And you see that I printed some things in black and some things in red. The things in black I'm going to give you. That's my normal preaching style, as you know. But the red ones are going to be your words. I have my words that fit those blanks. But those blanks in red are going to be your words. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about the proven path of prayer and ministry of the Word. And as you know, God's been kind of working overtime on me in this area of prayer. Having come back from the conference, God's just been opening my eyes to a lot of things. And as your pastor, that means I'm supposed to open your eyes to things that he's opening my eyes to. Okay? And it's taking people out of their comfort zone. We tried this Thursday. And what it revealed to me, because Thursday we had about, I don't know, six or seven people came to prayer meeting. And I don't know how many there was, six or five, six, seven, something like that. And we did this. And I struggled with it, okay? I mean, you know, and it really revealed to me how, I don't know if the word is ingrained, but it's probably a suitable word. I don't know if it's the best word, but how we are so ingrained into how we pray. And how anything that takes us out of that takes us out of our comfort zone. And we struggle for words. And it's just God, I think it's part of the process, God, you know, revealing to me just how ingrained I was. And so, you know, my eyes are being opened, and I'm hoping to open yours, and I'm going to give you a chance today to participate out loud. But there is some preaching, so you're not getting out of that, okay? That's not going to happen. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about that proven path of ministry of the Word and of prayer. And it's a path that enables us to serve the Lord according to His purpose for us. You know, we like to serve the Lord according to our purpose. You know, we have, this is what I'm really good at. You know, and this is how I want to serve the Lord. And that may be true and that may be so. But is it what God would have you do? Because are we not supposed to line up with Him rather than us do what we want and ask Him to bless it? And cannot God change His purpose for you? In other words, maybe you were a teacher for a long time, but now God is doing something different, and maybe He doesn't want you to teach. Now, listen, I'm not trying to get rid of any teachers, okay? I'm just saying that is not God God? Is He not sovereign? Can He not say, you're not going to do this anymore, I want you to do this? It doesn't mean you'll never teach again. It just maybe you're going to do something different. You know, and so He's doing this with prayer, you know, and it's really not anything different. It's actually this type of prayer is in the Bible. It's how a lot of people in the Bible, when you study the prayers that are in the Bible, unfortunately, there are lots of prayers recorded for us in the Bible, and they all kind of fit this way. And then, of course, last week we looked at the principles of prayer, and I preached that message, after this manner pray. And then Jesus gave us the model prayer. You know, it wasn't a suggestion. It was like, when you pray, this is how you pray. Not memorize the words, which most, if not all of us, have done. Memorize those four verses or five verses. But it's a model. It's how we are to model our prayers. And Jesus has given us this effective method of coming into the throne room and connecting with the Father. And so he says, after this manner, pray. And so the title of this message today is Praying After This Manner. You know, last week was instructional. You know, this week is operational. I don't know. It's going to be, you know, we're going to participate. And it's going to take you a little bit out of your comfort zone. And some of you may not. You know, some of you may not say a word. But I'm hoping some of you will, as we go down this road. Now, I'm going to go through, we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I only have two verses that I'm talking about here, but I'm going to give some background, because the context of what Paul wrote in 17 and 18 comes out of what came previously. Okay? So even, and I'm just going to kind of maybe ramble a little bit, if you will, something like that. I'm just going to kind of go through some of these verses in chapter 4. But some truths, because you got to understand, this is, you know, Timothy was somebody that was dear to Paul. Timothy, he calls him my son. You know, it's someone that Paul led to the Lord, and not only led him to the Lord, but discipled him and trained him and equipped him. And Timothy was with him on many of the things, in many of those things that happened to Paul in his ministry, on those mission trips that he took, and all those things. Timothy was involved. Timothy was very dear to Paul. And he's writing this. Paul is in prison. He's waiting to be executed for the Lord. And last words are important. And 17 and 18 of chapter 4 are literally his last words, because the rest of it, 19 through 22, is just say hi to this person and, you know, hello to that person. There's not, you know, not a lot of doctrine there. But 17 and 18 is the last gasp of Paul, you might say, to Timothy. I mean, you got to get the importance of it. And the power that's behind it. I mean, you know, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, who would you call to be in your presence? And what would you say to them? You know, so these things are important. And so that's the context of this final, what we call a chapter in this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And at the beginning of chapter 4, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. The quick and the dead. The quick are the ones that are alive in Christ. Remember? He says, I've quickened you. And quickening just simply means made alive. You had a dead spirit when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. That spirit came alive. That's the quick. If you have a live spirit within you, you're the quick. If you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're the dead. And he's going to judge the quick and the dead. You know, and we don't get judged for our salvation. We get judged on our works. You know, we got saved. God had a purpose for us. How well did we carry that out? And our works will be judged. Bible says, yet so as by fire. But ourselves, we're good. We're not going to hell. We're going to be in heaven, those of us that have accepted Christ. But the dead, they're going to be judged also by their works. And they will be condemned. Because the only way out of hell is Jesus Christ. And if you've rejected him, then that is your future. And so he starts with this, and then he says, preach the word. Remember, he's writing this to Timothy. He's reminding him. He says, I charge you, Timothy, before God, the God that's going to judge everyone, preach the word. And be instant. In other words, you got to be ready with the word, whether it's convenient or not. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine, patience. In other words, when you're working with people, Timothy, be patient with them. He says, the time's going to come when they won't endure sound doctrine. And we see that now in our country that supposedly, we got churches all over the place in this country, but look at the people that are just not enduring sound doctrine. And when we have the Word of God is preached, it's like, well, that part there I don't agree with. It says, the time will come, and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, I'm going to go to the church that tells me the things I want to hear. Or I'm going to listen. They may not even go to church. I'm going to listen to the person I want to hear. Because they tell me things that make me feel good about myself. I don't find much in this word that makes me feel good about myself. Other than salvation, that makes me feel good because my Lord died for me, and at some point I actually trusted in Him, and now my future's secure. Praise the Lord for that. But when I read about all the other things, I'm like, wow, I'm a sinner. I got problems. I fail in so many ways. And this word, Bible says your great works are like filthy rags to God. I mean, even the things we do, they're empty. And He says, esteem others better than yourself. Humble yourself. There's nothing in there that's telling me that I'm a good person. Because, there's none good. No, not one. And so, if you're going to the Bible for this great, you're going to feel really good about yourself, you're going to the Bible the wrong way. And I'm not saying, you don't go to the Bible so it'll beat you down. Just be real with who you are and understand, wow, despite all that, despite who I am, God loved me so much, He sent Jesus to die for me. And He adopted me into His family. And I'm still messed up, but He loves me and He uses me despite myself. And I'm trying to grow and get better, and the Word does do that. When you're in the Word, it changes you and makes you more like Jesus. But don't ever think you're there. Because you're not, and I'm not, no one is. And He says, but watch in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I'm about ready to go. I'm departing, and He's going to a good place. This is where I get, you can't threaten me with heaven. Can't threaten Paul. He's sitting there in prison, about ready to have his head chopped off or whatever. Can't threaten me with heaven. My departure's at hand. This is the same Paul that wrote in another place, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he says, I fought the good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. There's a crown of righteousness. Then in verse, and he says, come to me shortly in verse 9. Then in 10, he starts talking about some people that have worked with him. And it's quite an interesting group. And he says, Demas has forsaken me. And this was a guy that worked with Paul. And he says, Demas has forsaken me, what? Having loved this present world. How many people do you know that were in church at one time, really, serving and everything, and then now they're in the world? Now, whether they're saved or not, I don't know. I mean, if they were saved, once saved, they're always saved. But, you know, Satan wants to discredit you. Satan wants to make your testimony worthless in terms of touching another person. And this Demas, you know, at one time, I guess he was, you know, good guy to be with. You know, he was helpful to Paul in the ministry or whatever. But he's forsaken him because he loved the world more than he loved what he was doing with Paul. Maybe more than he loved God. I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for that. Then he talks about Crescens to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Luke is with me. You know, Mark's profitable to me. Bring him. Tychicus, I've sent to Ephesus, you know, and all that. Then he gets to 14. You know, he says, bring the parchments. You know, he really wanted the Word of God, some of the things that he didn't have with him right there in prison. And then he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. So here's another guy that somewhere along the way, we don't know much about Alexander, but Paul apparently had dealings with him. I don't know whether he worked with Paul or whether he was just someone there. But it says, the Lord, you know, he kind of says a little prayer, the Lord reward him according to his works. You know, Paul didn't lift his hand against him. He just said, you know, God will deal with him. And he says to Timothy, he says, watch out. He says, of whom be thou aware, or be aware of, or beware of, okay? For he has greatly withstood our words. So what he's saying is, you know, he's preaching, and Alexander's saying, that ain't true. That ain't true. He's greatly withstanding his words. So this is all leading up to these final verses. And we see in 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Sound like somebody you might know? Like Jesus? Whenever Jesus had to answer those charges, everybody ran. No one stood with him. And Paul said, that's what happened to me. He says, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. And I pray that God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Like Jesus? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's what Stephen prayed when he was stoned. He prayed to God that God would not lay that charge on them. But then, two marvelous verses. Because you see, Paul stood before Caesar and no one stood with him. And Caesar sentenced him to death, basically. Maybe not Caesar personally, but Rome. Then he says in 17 and 18, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And I think this may have been a previous, because he'd been in prison a few times. And I'm thinking that in the past, they all left him. And he said, but the Lord stood with him and strengthened him, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And so we know, you know, Paul went everywhere he could to preach. And he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, because, you know, they were throwing Christians to the lions. So this was kind of the past, because he's saying, and I was delivered. So I think this was a previous thing. And then he says in 18, and the Lord shall deliver me. Okay, so now he's speaking forward. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we see here an amazing thing. You know, Paul, at one point in 17, he felt alone. And I'm going to praying after this manner. And part of the praying is understanding that you fill in the blank. You're going to God. And you can take Scripture. You can take Scripture and pray out of the Scripture into your own life. And that's what I want you to see. And you can do it all over the Bible. Psalms are really good. But you can do it like we're going to do it right here in 17 and 18. Praying after this manner. What's that manner? What? You start off upward. You have it right there on your sheet. I've got them all filled in for you. Upward and reverence. You start off reverencing God. And then you have the downward. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's coming down to us on earth. And we respond to God. And then inwardly, we request. That's about us. Now we get to us. First we praise God. Then we respond to God. Then we get to us. Or others. You can intercede for others. And then lastly, the outward, the readiness. Okay, I've done all this, and now, Lord, I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready, and I need help in serving you. That's the pattern that Jesus gave us. That's the way we're supposed to pray. Now, I'm talking about when we have time to pray. Sometimes there's no time to pray, meaning something really crazy is going on in the moment, and you don't have to go through upward, downward. And, you know, sometimes you just got to go help. Help me, Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, as you're in your prayer time, in your devotion time, in our worship time here at church, we have time to go to Him first. We have time to respond to His presence. We have time to talk about ourselves. We have time to prepare to go and do His will, whatever that may be. We have time to do that. So now we're going to enter into this. And last week I talked about entering the throne room. And you understand, any time you pray, you're entering the throne room. You know, and I'm reading this book right now. I'm reading more books in the last month than I've read in 2 years. That kind of shows you God's doing something here, because I'm not a reader. I read well. I can read really well and fast. I just don't like it. It's just not my thing. But when I'm motivated, I can do things that I wouldn't normally do. And so I'm reading this book, it's talking about, he opens up, about how everybody's asleep in a prayer meeting. Anybody ever fallen asleep in a prayer meeting? You don't have to raise your hand. But I tell you, I have. I have. Because we all get around, and then everybody does what? They do this. And they're sitting down, and they're in comfortable chairs, and you're sitting down, and you've been working all day, and it's Wednesday night prayer meeting, and you shut your eyes. Are you kidding me? You are asking for sleep. You're asking for sleep. Why do we do these things? Jesus didn't pray with his eyes shut. Read it. It said, lifting his eyes towards heaven. And he lifted his arm, his hands up, and he starts talking to his Father. It does help you to stay awake if your eyes are open. But we've got, all this is ingrained in us ever since we were children. This is what we do. But Jesus did this. And we are tired. A lot of time, back when I was going to prayer meetings like that, I was working. Sometimes I was working 12, 13 hours, 6 days a week. I was a tired person. Man, you get in those comfortable chairs and shut your eyes. You were asking for it. But you know you're in good company. Remember when Jesus was in the garden? He had Peter, James, and John with him. And he says, stay here and pray for me. I mean, here's Jesus going before the Father at the most important time in history. He knows he's going to the cross. He's wanting people to pray for him that he would have strength, you know, and be able to carry out his Father's will. And he comes back and they're asleep. Three times. That'd be like being in prayer meeting and I wake Brad up three times and three times he goes to sleep. Too much Taco Bell. Yeah, something. But I mean, so we're in good company here. I mean, so it helps to think about, I mean, honestly, think about this. I read to you last week, I think it was chapter 4 or 5 or whatever it was in Revelation, about being in the throne room. Now, do you think you could sleep if you were in the throne room of God? I mean, when you enter in there and those seraphims are hovering around, going, holy, 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 you know, and the 420 elders are hitting their face and they're shouting things out to the Lord, and you got the angels in there and, you know, and all this stuff going on, thunders and lightnings and all this stuff around the throne, and you're going to go in there and fall asleep? Really? But that, isn't that what we do? Because we're just not connecting with what we're doing. So, a couple of points to help you. ABC. The ABC of prayer. Okay? A, audible. Okay, so you say it out loud. B, brief. Okay, we don't need the 3 months that led up to this prayer. Okay? Brief. Audible, brief. One or two sentences, that's all you need. God already, remember I talked about that verse last week. God already knows what you need. You don't got to explain it. You're not praying to me. You're not praying to the people that are hearing this. You're praying to God. God already knows the 3 months that led up to your prayer. But God does want us to come to Him in prayer. And so, be brief. Be succinct. Be focused. Okay, and then C, be clear, which is be focused. I kind of jumped my gun there. But so you say it out loud, you say it briefly, one or two sentences, and you focus. One point, don't pray for 10 things. One thing, what's the thing? What is the thing that you're praying about? And that's what's so good about doing it out of the Scriptures. Because you know what? What I have found is that when whoever starts a conversation tends to guide it. You know, if somebody just comes up, you got a group of guys come around, and somebody walks up and goes, hey, did you see that game the other night? Bam. Everybody's talking about the game, you know, or whatever. And that's where the conversation goes. And so we're going to let God this morning initiate the conversation through these verses 17 and 18. He's going to initiate the conversation. This is what we're going to pray about. Is this making sense? Boy, am I in trouble. Not getting yes, not getting no. I'm just getting like, I don't think I want to say anything out loud. I'm scared to death. Okay. I kind of expected that because that's what we did Thursday night. We all sat around and looked at each other for a moment. You know, okay. So, now this is the black line, so you can fill this one in, okay? We're going to thank God for His presence. And where do I get that? Verse 17a. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You know, there was a time when Paul was standing before authorities. He was standing there with his life in the balance. He could have been thrown to the lions. He could have been executed. No one, have you ever been there? You ever have something going on in your life and you feel like everyone abandoned you? But you know what the Lord said? I mean, what Paul said? The Lord stood with me. He said, I am not alone. And do you understand? Do you understand that when you're going through the dark time, when you are going through a time when you don't even know what's going on and you're hurting, do you understand the Lord is right there with you? He never leaves you or forsakes you. He is there. You know, you couldn't get any help. And so now, God has opened the door for us to speak to Him about some. Maybe there's something in your past that you never got over, where you feel like no one stood up for you, no one was there for you, and maybe you just need to thank God that He was. And you know, some things in my past, I look back and I realize now that He was there, but at the time I wasn't even thinking about God. I was just all wrapped up in my situation. I love that last song, you know, about being, help me in my circumstances, you know, because sometimes we're in the middle of the circumstances and we think we're alone, but in reality God is moving. He's trying to do something. Maybe He's just trying to get you to notice Him. And so, I'm going to start it, and then you just speak up if you feel like it. Listen, no pressure, but it will help you grow. And you may be thinking of something. Maybe nothing's coming to your mind. That's fine. You know, don't manufacture something. But if God brings something to your mind, then go to Him. And remember, you're not praying to me, and you're not praying to, you know, this is not a demonstration. This is actual prayer. We are actually going to God. We're in the throne room right now. He's on the throne. Jesus is at His right hand. Seraphims are circling, praising Him. The 24 elders are bowing down. There's lightning. There's thunder. He's the majestic Creator, God of the universe. And He's there, and guess what? You have His ear. You have His ear. And Lord, You stood by me when? I'm going to fill in the blank. This is my prayer. And then you just do the same thing. If you feel led, you just say, Lord, You stood by me when? Lord, You stood by me when I was sick and no doctor would help me. And I really thought I was alone. But Lord, You were there. And I thank You.
Lord, You stood by me whenever I am
fearful. Amen.
Lord, You stood by me when I blamed You for losing my husband.
Amen.
Lord, You stood by me when I needed You most.
Amen.
Lord, You stood by me when I was anxious. When I couldn't share it with anybody because I couldn't. Lord, You stood by me when no one thought I would get the sick.
Amen.
Lord, You stood by me when everything seemed so flawed, when Lenore was on her way out, Lord, with cancer.
Yeah,
just
was
taking me down,
that
You stood by.
Amen.
Lord, You stood by me when I was at my weakest.
Lord, You stood by me
when
I needed strength
and
ability to
suffer. Amen.
Lord, You stood by me when I was a child and not a want to thank you today for being here and providing the food and the word that you
give. Amen.
Lord, you stood by me when I had a family member struggling with addiction.
Amen.
Lord, you stood by me when as a child my father died and you gave me the life back.
Amen. Amen. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So we're still praising Him. We praised Him for how He stood by us. Now we're praising Him for His power. We thank God for His power. That's, you know, He gave Paul the power to stand when he was alone. And so this is the prayer. Lord, you strengthened me when? He strengthens us with His power. Lord, you strengthened me when I felt like giving up. You strengthened me. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you strengthened me when I went to you in prayer.
When you strengthened me when I lost sight of everything. Lord, you strengthened me when I was lost and afraid.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, you strengthened me so much that when I quit drinking, I knew I had a desire.
Amen.
Lord, you strengthen me when I'm sad. Lord, you strengthen me when I'm sad.
Yes, Lord, you're faithful.
Lord, you strengthened me when you gave me the courage to share and provide hope for others and faith.
Amen.
Lord, you strengthened me to be able to stand and overcome the mighty hope of the church. Lord, you strengthened me when I was fearful.
Amen. And now, our response to God. He was there with us. He strengthened us. Paul wrote, "The Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that by me preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear." Paul responded. He said, "You know, you didn't just stand by me and strengthen me for no reason. I actually have purpose. Thank God for giving me purpose." He had a purpose. He was the one through whom the Gentiles would hear about the Lord. He was the one. And everyone in this room was saved with a reason, with a purpose in mind. God had a purpose in mind. And we have to respond according to that. His kingdom come. His will be done in each one of us. How do we respond to that? The response is this prayer. Lord, I confess that, blank. something is keeping me from something. Okay, this is our response when we come into the throne room and God is revealing His purpose to us. That should move a response. And now I'm going to lift up, and then you can paraphrase this if it doesn't exactly fit what you have to say. This is your prayer. It is personal. And you share it with God. But Lord, I confess, Lord, that sometimes doubt keeps me from obeying You completely. Keeps me from just stepping out when I know You're asking me to.
Lord, I confess that worldly things are keeping me from giving You all the praise and glory I should be giving You.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that fear is keeping me from giving everything I felt out of You, from giving You all my faith.
Lord, I confess that my anger is keeping me from loving and serving You.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that I worry about being alienated from people like because I want to share Your word with others.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that Your love is keeping me from hell.
Amen. Okay. Now we're going to move to the inward. Now this is where we get kind of for us. Well, up to this point, we've been praising Him. We've been responding to Him. Thank God for His protection. You know, Paul said at the end of 17 and the beginning of 18, he says, "And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." He protected Paul. And it says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." And so now this is a path that God is, remember, He's the guide. His scripture is guiding how we pray. And so we're starting off with praising Him for His presence, for His power. And then we're thanking Him for giving us purpose. And we confess that there's some things in our life that is keeping us from fulfilling the purpose that He has for us, whether it be our fear, our doubt, our uncertainty, you know, whatever it may be. But then that leads us directly to the part where we pray for ourselves. And, you know, we say, "Lord, I trust that You will deliver me from, and that You will deliver." And this is two parts in a sense. It can be one or the other. The first one is personal. "Lord, I trust that You will deliver me from..." fill in the blank. The other is if you want to intercede for someone else, because that's part of the inward part. That's the time that we go to the Lord on behalf of other people. So maybe, you know, you have someone in your family that's on drugs or something. And then you say, "Lord, I pray that You deliver Sam from his drug addiction problem," you know, whatever. That's when you go for intercession. So it can be either one, whichever one that God is impressing on you, that He wants to hear from you on this. And so I will open. "Lord, I trust that You will deliver me from the doubt that keeps me so many times from obeying You completely. I pray that You would deliver me from that, Lord."
Amen.
Father, I trust that you deliver me from my fears so that I can give you all my faith, and that you will deliver Daniel from his ignorance of you.
Amen.
Trust that you will deliver me from things I shouldn't be saying about others who are abusing or showing lack of respect for others.
Yeah. Lastly, return to the outward. We reverence God. We praise Him for His attributes and His all the things about Him that makes Him so wonderful to us. And then we respond to what He has shown us about Himself. And we make that part of us. We pray about how that affects us personally and maybe others in our life. But then that requires action. And we thank God that He preserves me. He preserves me. Paul wrote, I've been delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's that readiness. He preserves us to something. You know, He didn't save you for nothing. He didn't take you out of your sin or you know, take away that thing in your life, whatever it was, for you to do nothing. He preserved you to something, to accomplish something. And so the prayer is because, and this is another two-part, kind of. There's two ways to look at this. And according to this verse that we're reading, the first part is He preserved us to His kingdom. Because of that, I can trust you, Lord. That should be capitalized you, but I can trust you to do whatever, okay? I can trust you, Lord, for me to do something. You're filling in what you are going to do. We've already looked at what God has done in us, and now what are we going to do? Or I can glorify you by, because the second part is that to whom be glory forever and ever. All the glory goes to God. Anything we do in His name, that glorifies God. And that's why we were created, was to glorify God. And so He's preserving us into His kingdom, but that we can glorify Him. Okay? So let me pray. Because You preserve me to Your kingdom, Lord, I can trust You to serve without fear. Remember, I'm going to preach a little again, but that's my prayer. But you know what? I don't have to be afraid. Why? Because You can't threaten me with heaven. I don't have to have fear. I don't have to fear what the authorities are going to do or what another person may do to me, because if they kill me, I'm just going to be with the Lord. He's already preserved my soul. He's preserved my spirit. I am His. Okay? There's nothing can change that. And so I can go out and do whatever He calls me to do without fear. I can do that. Or I can glorify Him by obeying Him no matter what. No matter what. Jesus said, what? If you love me, keep my commands. So whatever He commands, I will do. And I will glorify Him if I do that. And I don't have to fear. Why? Because God preserves me. And I can serve Him without fear. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, but also preserves me. I have nothing to lose. Because you preserve me in your kingdom, Lord, I trust you that I can serve you regardless of the consequences, and I can obey you regardless of the consequences. Thank you, Lord.
Because you preserve me in your kingdom, I can trust you to save me, or I can glorify you by accepting you as the only true God.
Paul concluded this part, 17 and 18, by saying, amen, so be it. It means so be it. It means, Lord, according to your will, you're sovereign. I pray these things fully accepting what it is you have for me. Whatever it may be, I will serve you. I will praise you. I will glorify you because you strengthen me. You stand by me. You give me purpose. You protect me. You empower me. You preserve me. All these things. And he says, you've done those things all the time that Paul served Christ. And he knew his end was here. And he says, so be it. So be it. If they cut my head off, so be it. Praying after this manner, and I put this all in the first person. It's all, this is personal. As you read this, praying after this manner helps me in several ways. First of all, I'm being obedient to Christ. This is how Christ told us to pray. Don't you think this had a lot of meat to it? Just praying two verses? I mean, did you almost fall asleep? It was kind of cool, huh? Kind of refreshing, really. And we're just praying out of God's Word. And that's how He wants us. He wants us to connect with Him. And that doesn't mean you can't pray, other ways or whatever. But He said, pray after this manner. This is how you do it. And that's where the power is. The prayer doesn't have power. People say there's power in prayer. No, there's not. There's not. Prayer opens the door for you to connect to the one that has the power. The power is in the Lord. To Him be all power and glory and honor. He's the one with the power. Prayer just connects you to the one with the power to come and send His power down and do whatever it is He's going to do in your life. So we're being obedient. Second, praying from the Scriptures gives the Lord an opportunity to guide the conversation. Let's face it. If we sat down and, if you really sat down, got a nice quiet place, no distractions, turned all the phones off and the computers and all the junk we got to distract us, and sat down and started writing stuff that you could pray about, would you not fill up several pages? And you're praying about all these things. How much more focused is it? I mean, I've been in meetings where people, they give the workers opportunity to air their grievances or something. And 600 things, and as a result, nothing gets done. How about pick one thing? No, we pick several things through this, but you know, we could fill up a prayer sheet like this, each one of us. But when you get into the Scriptures and God leads you to a Scripture and it really means something, you can take that Scripture and take this, the model prayer, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, and plug it into the Lord's model prayer, and then pray it. It will guide you. It will guide you right into the throne room of God where the power is. It gives Him an opportunity to guide your thoughts and guide your prayers. Praying God's Word back to Him helps me to personalize the Scriptures and apply them to my life. You know, there's a lot of Scriptures here. One of those tiebreaker things at one of the parties, I said how many verses there was or something. I mean, it was like 30,000 or something. But when you just take a few and pray them, it funnels it down to something specific. And it personalizes that particular prayer, this particular day in my life towards Him. And if He guided you to that prayer, do you think maybe there might have been a reason? To that Scripture, rather? That might have been a reason for you to pray out of that Scripture? God made these 17 and 18 very clear to me as I was preparing for this. He made it very clear to me in a couple of ways. We pray God's Word back to Him. It helps me to personalize the Scriptures, apply them to my life, and it makes the Scripture become more relevant and more meaningful to me. Because you know what? God's speaking to me out of those verses. I got doubts. I got fears. I got things going on in my life that I'm not certain of. But man, it really comforts me to think, wow, He's going to stand by me. And He's going to strengthen me. Man, that means a lot to me. My relationship with God then becomes more intimate, which enables me to hear His voice clearly and more fully understand His purposes for me. You know, I had a thing happen to me it wasn't Thursday, it was the Thursday before. And we had men's Bible study. And you know, I've been like immersed in this for about a month or more on this. And so, you know, God's been working in me. And it was a men's Bible study, and while we were in men's Bible study, the phone rang. And it rang, you know, and it rang. And, you know, we get lots of calls that, you know, trying to sell us a car warranty or something, you know, whatever. Y'all get those, right? Yeah. And so I don't ever answer it if I'm doing something. And we were in men's Bible study, so I'm not going to, you know, answer the phone. So after the Bible study's over, everybody's getting ready to leave and everything, and I go in the office and I look on the phone, there's a message. They actually left a message. And I was tired. You know, it was like 8:45 or something. I'd been there all day. You know, all day. And I was tired. I was ready to go home. And Thursday is always my burnout. I mean, that's like when I run out of energy. Because I live for Friday, you know, because I schedule nothing on Friday. And sometimes I have to do things on Friday, but I purposely don't schedule because I try to have everything done Thursday night, the message complete, everything done, bulletin, all that stuff done, so that on Friday I can just kind of gel, you know, and kind of get my head back together. And so I'm just thinking, man, I just want to go home. I'm tired. So I get in the car, you know, I lock up on the last one out, everybody's gone, and I get in the car. And I pull out and I'm going down the road. I'm headed towards Phelan Road there. And God's like going, you need to go answer that phone. You need to listen to that message. And I'm like, I can do that tomorrow. You know, because I was coming back here for the movie night. I knew I was going to be here on Friday. I thought, well, I'll just come a little early and listen to the message, you know, listen to the car salesman or whatever. Because that's what I was thinking. So then I make the left. I'm sitting there at the light. I make the left. I'm headed, you know, east. And God's like, you really need to go back and answer that message. And I'm like, really? And I get up to Wilson Ranch, and I just pull in the left turn lane and make an illegal turn. Because I obey God no matter what. So they got no U-turn there, really? You know, but anyway, there wasn't a car on the road, so it didn't matter. But anyway, so I came all the way back, and I listened on the phone. You know, and it's this guy from a hospice down the hill. And he's calling, and he says, yeah, there's a lady that's dying, and she's wanting someone to pray with her. And I'm like, gee, I wonder where she lives. Am I driving to, you know, wherever, right? So I'm like, okay, so I call the guy back. He left a message. There's a lady that's dying. We'd like you to go pray, whatever. So I'm like, I don't know where this lady might be or who she is, but so I call the number. So I'm starting to talk to this guy. He's like, oh, wow, thanks for calling. There's this lady, blah, 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 right? So while I'm trying to get some details on this, this car pulls up in the right next to my car. And I had the blinds all drawn, but I could see headlights. And I hear a horn, beeping at me. And I'm like, what? What? You know, I got a phone in one hand. I got some guy out here in the parking lot honking at me. So I'm trying to talk, but they keep hitting the horn. So I'm like, you know, hold on for a minute. I got to go see. Somebody drove up out here. So I go out the door, and there's this lady walking up. She was in the truck. It was a pickup truck, actually. She was walking up there, and she goes, can you come and pray with my friend? And I'm like, I'm looking at this phone, and I'm looking at her, and I go, what's her name? And tells me her name. And I go, and her name was Sandy. And so I said, is this lady's name Sandy? And the guy goes, yeah, how'd you know? And I go, well, there's a lady out here who wants me to go with her. And I said, so I guess I don't need to talk to you anymore. I guess I'll follow this lady. So we hang up, and I lock everything back up again, and I said, I'll just follow you. Well, she goes to that trailer park right here, the one right here where Gene is, you know, in there. And we pull up to this trailer, and I go in there, and Sandy is laying on a hospital bed. It's a single-wide trailer with a hospital bed in it, and, I mean, there's no room in there. And the lady's daughter's there, and she appeared to be in her late 30s or early 40s, but the lady, of course, was probably in her 70s or 80s or somewhere in there, but she's laying her on the bed, and I come in and she introduces herself and all that, and the daughter is just really distraught, and the lady had broke her hip, and that was fixed fine, but while she was in the hospital, they found out she had some deeper health issues, and now she's dying. She's on hospice, and she's laying there, and so she can't talk. But I said her name, and I said, "Would you like me to talk with you?" And she responded. I mean, you know, the only way she could, kind of moving her head, couldn't open her eyes. But it really appeared she could hear me and understand me. So I just went through the whole plan of salvation, prayed with her, you know, and all that. Because I don't know where people are at, you know. And the daughter's just weeping. And the daughter said, yeah, I know I should be in church. But they actually asked that guy to call this church. The daughter said, yeah, I drive by the church all the time, and God keeps telling me to go in there, and I just won't go in because I just don't know if I'll be accepted. And I said, well, you would be accepted, I told her. And so I finished praying for Sandy, and then I prayed. And I said, it was Sandy's friend that was there and the daughter. So I prayed for them and they were crying. And then Sandy died on Sunday. The sun, not this, the Sunday after I was there, like 3 days later. So what if I hadn't listened? You know? And we need to draw close to God. Because he speaks in a still small voice. And sometimes we got so much junk going on that we don't hear him. And when you pray like this, it kind of settles you. It kind of takes the distractions away. And you can hear him better. And you can understand more fully his purposes. You know, he had a purpose for me that night. And after it was all over, I was thinking, you know, I can't be near my dad if something like that happened. I'm here, he's in Florida. But I sure would like, if some preacher got called, I sure would like him to go and tell my dad one more time. You know? And then I just said, thank you, Lord, for making me turn around, you know? As a result, I begin to see things the way God sees them. You know, we do need to do that. We need to learn to look at things the way God sees them. When we see somebody doing something, how does God see that? When we see somebody that's obviously not looking for God at all, how do we see that person? So as a result, I begin to see things the way God sees them, and I become closer to God as my faith, my relationship, and my love for him grows. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I always thought that was kind of backwards. I always thought God should make the first move. Well, he already did. He sent his son. But the verse says, if I draw near to God, he will draw near to me. And what better way to draw near to God than by prayer? And by prayer the way he says it should be. Praying after this manner causes me to draw near to God, and God responds by drawing near to me. I mean, way back then, God was preparing me for this message so that I could use that illustration. He used that lady's death. To do something in me. What better place is there for a Christian to be than right next to God? When we used to do those horse-breaking things on the reservation in New Mexico and Arizona and in Utah, we did them in Utah, Colorado. We had the round pen. And we had a whole thing that we did, but we'd make that horse run until they got tired. You know, God makes people run until they get tired. And then hopefully they'll look towards him. And the horse, when the horse gets tired, they look at the guy in the middle with the whip. Because you're cracking the whip behind them, making them run. And the horse begins, at first they won't look at you, but then they start looking. And then you stop them. And sometimes God wants to stop us. And then he says, come here. Come here. And that's what we would do. We would go, come here. And the horse sometimes would start to come in, and then they'd go like that. You know, that's that will that we have, you know. You ever seen a horse do that? Yeah. They go like that. Man, they got horses have attitudes, let me tell you. They do. And so then what do? You crack the whip, make them run some more. Then you tell them, come here. And then they come in. And then in a few hours, we got them where they'll be right behind us. and we're walking, take a sharp turn, and that horse will go, boom, just flip around. You know why? It's safe when you're near the master. You don't got to run when you're right next to the master. You don't work as hard when you're right next to the master. And there's safety when you're right next to the master. Horses learn that, and horses are not the brightest bulbs on the tree. Why don't we learn it? Safety is being right next to the master. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. And that's where safety is. That's where strength is. That's where the power is. That's where purpose is. It's where life is. Maybe someone here today, you know, you want to draw near to God, but there's something between you and God that's keeping you from drawing near. And you know what it is? It's your sin. It's your sin. Sin separates us from God. Whether we're saved or not. Now, if you're unsaved, you're definitely, your sin has never been forgiven. You are separated from God in every way. But for the Christian, we still can sin, can't we? Anybody here not sin since they got saved? Thank you very much for not sinning here in church by lying about that. But our sin gets in the way of God too, even though we're His children. When we do things wrong, our sin separates us from God. We need to confess our sin. We need, whether we're saved or unsaved, we need to confess our sin and ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness, and that drops the barrier down and allows us to draw near to Him so He can draw near to us. There might be some here that, you know what, you're realizing, man, I need to grow in my prayer life. I hope this kind of spurred you a little bit to maybe examine how we approach the Lord. Maybe there's some here that really need to grow in their intimacy with God. You know, a lot of Christians have a real superficial relationship with God. I have found that in counseling. And sometimes it takes a big deal to get them to drop all the junk and just focus on God. And I would say probably all of us need to draw closer. There's always something in the way. Yeah, there's always something. As soon as you get the one thing out of the way, then God makes you aware of something else, don't He? I mean, it's like a never-ending process. It's called sanctification. But this is your opportunity. If we can have everyone stand. Just want you to stand. Want you to have freedom. If you can, I mean, obviously, if it's not good for you to stand, then don't. But if you can, please stand. And is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. There's definitely a problem between me and Him because I've never asked for forgiveness, and I'd like to take care of that, and I realize I need to, and I just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. I really want to pray for you if that's the case. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I really need to grow in this prayer. I need to grow. Just keep it simple and short and sweet. I need to be more intimate. I need to be closer to God. Heavenly Father, help us. You are the God of presence. You are here. And you want to draw close to us. Father, help us to just lay aside all the stuff that keeps us, whether it be our pride or bitterness or fear or doubt or whatever it may be that we carry. Lord, help us to lay it all aside and just approach your throne. You open your arms and welcome us, Lord. We're your children. Help us to be in the better place, the place that's right next to you. Work in us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is your time. If you need prayer, you want to come forward and pray, you may do business with God, you do so. If you want me to pray with you, come forward, I'll pray with you. Whatever. Do what God tells you to do. Father, Lord God, we thank you that you did everything necessary to make us close to you. You sent your Son, Lord. He died on the cross for our sin, that we could be forgiven and have fellowship with you. We thank you and praise you for that. Father, you gave us purpose. You saved us for a reason. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to learn to connect to you in a greater way, a more intimate way. And Father, give us confidence to stand for you, to go forward for you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer and the means by which we can just engage with you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.